people will say to me, don't show weakness. Don't show emotion.
Yeah.
Don't show fear.
And I remember him grabbing me by the neck. If you want to cry, go cry in the locker room. Don't do it out here.
You remember the feeling.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So why would you ever open your heart again
to
be treated like that, right? And that's what keeps most of us men from the true power of vulnerability.
What we're striving for is transformation of the heart. For the glory of the living Lord.
Welcome to the Forge Podcast. I'm Tim Frame. I'm your host. I'm the Director of Development here at the Forge. And today we're going to be talking about the subject of vulnerability. And I have with me our guest, Clay Rojas.
What's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Happy to be here. Doing great today.
Dude, man. Happy to have you here. I'm excited about this.
Me too.
Our audience doesn't know it, but they're going to. You're one of the counselors here at the Forge now.
Yes.
Yeah. Seeing people, working with dudes.
Yes.
Come on.
Yep. Great opportunity. Never thought it was going to present itself because not this soon anyway, because I just moved out here from California in June of 23. And so to have met you and to have met Jeff and the Forge and the opportunity to be able to counsel and walk alongside guys, that's always been my passion in my heart. So God knew exactly how to move the chess pieces and here we are.
Yeah. And then the other thing you do is total athlete.
Correct.
Could you tell our guys a little bit about that? We have a lot of athletes out there.
Absolutely. So I am the founder and CEO of a company, Total Athlete. And basically what we do is we provide mental health and behavioral health services for collegiate athletes. Traditionally, we started doing it with high schools. Now we're moving into the college world. But we basically go and do workshops, mental health workshops, for college programs. Predominantly, we've been working with football programs. And what we do within those workshops is we raise a group of athletes within the team that are going to volunteer to be what we call our mental health ambassadors. And then every month we meet with that group of athletes for their team. And we don't turn them into therapists or anything like that, but we give them the basics. Like, what are the red flags? What do you do if a teammate says they want to hurt themselves? What do you do when, you know, your best friend on the team is drinking till he blacks out?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what are the red flags of, you know, a series of mental health problems? And then not only how do you identify the red flags, but then how do you become, and this is a term that I love, it's called the walk alongsider. So how do you become a walk alongsider to a teammate who probably won't go talk to coach first?
Yeah.
He's definitely not going to go talk to the team psychologist first.
Yeah.
The first person I'm going to go to is my teammate.
Yeah.
Right. So we try to raise these guys up to be those walk alongsiders on the team so they can be the bridge between the athlete that needs the services and the interventions that the campus or the team might already have.
Yeah.
And the program's running great and we're just looking to grow.
Man, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's dope. Oh, and the other thing too is something we started doing this year is we've incorporated a faith-based component. So now not only do we talk about mental health and how to set up a wellness plan, but we talk about all the data and I mean, you can take the faith part out of it just for 2 seconds, but the ton of peer-reviewed journals and data that show how faith can elevate a person's mental health.
Yeah.
And so we definitely bring the faith component into it. I share my testimony with the guys. And we, at the end of the workshop, we set up a prayer tent. We pray with guys. We're leading guys to the Lord. We're getting guys baptized. We're introducing them to the person of Jesus because that's really what makes it all. That's the glue that makes it all stick at the end. So it's an amazing experience.
Man, that's awesome. That's why you fit in so well to Forge too. You know, we're pursuing helping guys find wise counsel, build trusted friendships, and become faithful leaders.
Yeah.
And a big component of that actually happening in a group context is vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about how you do that.
So, you know, currently, you know, especially with the work that I'm doing now, I'm finding a pattern. And I've found this pattern, like, you know, I started doing this work in 2018. And as I've been counseling mostly men, mostly young men, I have found that even in my own story, and maybe people who are men who are listening to this podcast right now can identify, but we've been preconditioned and programmed to overexert our masculinity as men. And here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by overexerting your masculinity. We're being pre-programmed and raised to not show emotion because showing emotion is weakness.
Yeah.
Now there's a famous saying, and we hear it all the time in sports, put on your game face.
Yeah.
And I ask athletes all the time, when coach says, put on your game face, let's go. It's kickoff time.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And I get some really interesting answers, but most of the answers that I get when I say, what does put on your game face mean? People will say to me, don't show weakness. Don't show emotion.
Yeah.
Don't show fear.
Yeah.
Right. Intimidation. The only thing you're allowed to show is toughness and anger. Yeah. And right. Well, and then I say, well, where do you learn that? And we learn it as little boys.
Yeah.
We learn it when we're raised in environments where, you know, kind of like the environment where I was raised, where we heard the term, if you're going to cry, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Yeah. I heard that too.
Right.
Yeah,
so when you hear that as a little kid, what does that tell you? That tells you that, okay, I can't show my emotions. Cause if I show my dad that I'm afraid, if I show my dad that I'm sad, if I show my dad that I'm fearful or anxious, I'm showing weakness and it's bothering him. And if I cry, he's going to give me something really to cry about, which is a whooping.
Yeah.
Right. And so when young boys are constantly told that, if you're going to cry, I'm going to give you something to cry about. What we're telling them is that whatever emotion it is you're feeling, you need to stuff it.
Yeah.
And so we do it from the time we're 5, 6, 7 years old. We're told to man up, be a man, tough it out. And the only emotion that you're allowed to express is anger. Go hit a punching bag, go wrestle, go throw a football. Go do that. And that's how we get our emotions out. Right. And some kids get the opportunity to do that and others don't. So they go fight, right. Yep. They go start fights.
Yeah.
And you know, when you start peeling the onion back, it all boils back down to this pre-programming that society and our culture says, if you are vulnerable and you show your heart and your emotions.
Yeah.
Well, our society has feminized that.
Yeah.
Right. And it has made that equivalent with weakness.
Yeah.
So of course, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that, right? No other guy is going to do that because number one, we don't want to be seen as weak and we don't want to be seen as feminine.
Yeah.
However, the problem comes when you meet a beautiful woman who might be your wife one day and you make some beautiful children and then that spouse and those children want to access your heart.
Yeah.
But because you've shielded your heart since you were 5 years old, and you've learned to do that. Now you're 30.
Yeah.
Right. They're trying to access that, but you don't know how to lay your shield and your sword and your helmet down.
Yeah.
You don't know how to do that because you've just spent 8 hours fighting the world. And some of us don't know how to come home and take that armor off. So what do? We make our families afraid to access us and they can't.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to us, we're pushing them away. And instead of creating this we're creating a false sense of security, but what we really did is we created a prison for ourselves.
Yeah.
And we've built this wall that we think is blocking out those that might hurt me because I'm not going to show my vulnerability. But what we really did was we built a wall. We built ourselves a little prison.
Yep.
And we're all alone in it.
No, I was that kid. I was a wrestler, hockey player, you know, they're tough sports.
Yeah.
Really tough sports. And I remember my coach in high school, I lost a match I shouldn't have lost. And I was upset. And I remember him grabbing me by the neck. If you want to cry, go cry in the locker room. Don't do it out here. Mm. And I mean, you're conditioned to like just conceal that and harbor it and hold it in. But like you're saying, man, when you become a dad, boy, this stuff's going to come out.
It comes out.
You got to deal with it.
And I'm a firm believer that when life squeezes you, just like the toothpaste thing, man, when life squeezes you, whatever's in there is coming out.
Yeah.
And if it's trauma and if it's pain and if it's shame and if it's guilt, it's going to come out. And most of the time it's going to come out in the form of anger.
Yep.
And the ones we're going to hurt are the ones who are actually trying to access us, right?
Yeah.
And think about this, those words that were spoken to you by that coach, you know, how many years ago was that? But I guarantee you that when you're thinking about it right now, you remember the feeling.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. So why would you ever open your heart again to be treated like that? Right. And that's what keeps most of us men from the true power of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that you and I are never going to form a relationship as brothers.
Yeah.
If neither one of us are willing to put down our armor.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll only let you in so much.
Yeah.
Right.
You and got your walls, man. Their distances, aren't there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
And you know, I've seen over the years, men be faithful attendees of their church, of their men's groups, of their youth groups, whatever it is, but never take their armor off.
Yeah.
They only let the pastor only so far.
Yep.
Or they only let that youth leader only so far.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to share with you the 99% of my stuff, but that 1%, that 1% that I'm hiding in there, that's real shameful, that's real dark.
Yeah.
But needs to come out. I'll never share it because I'm afraid to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
But only in that vulnerability and that surrender can Jesus actually go in there and do the surgery.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta open up. And that's what most of us as men are afraid to do.
You know, I see a lot of guys, I've been this guy too, and I see it a lot as well, is we think I'm providing for my family. I'm doing enough.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing it. Don't tell me what to do. I don't need to put up with these kids. You know, like you take on this mentality where it's like, what's really happening is you don't want to deal with any of that because of those walls. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be vulnerable. You're tough. You're providing, you're giving them what they need, and that's good enough. And it's not.
It's not. And I also think not only is it because of those walls, but I also think that when we refuse to become vulnerable to people, we also are doing it with God, by the way. And that's hard. It's hard to climb the mountain of life carrying that weight, and that stuff that's inside of you starts eating away at you, right? So then when you get home, you don't have the bandwidth, you don't have the emotional capacity, you don't have the mental capacity, because like I said, you've been out fighting the world, you got your armor, your shield, and your sword, right? And you've been out there fighting the world, and then you come home and you have no idea how to take this armor off. And a lot of it has to do with, I just don't have the capacity to be present.
Yeah.
Right? And so somebody once told me that as a man, as a father, as a leader of a house, I need to be the most present person in that house.
Yeah.
No matter what happened at work.
Yep.
No matter what happened, you know, for the last 8 hours, when I walk through that door, I need to be the most present and the most vulnerable person in that house. But we know how the story goes. Most dads come home and that's not the case.
Yeah.
That's not the case. Most dads come home and it's a guessing game. Your wife doesn't know which one of you is coming home today, because it depends what happened at work or depends how you're feeling. Your kids don't know, is it the nice dad? Is it the tired dad? Is it the angry dad?
Yeah.
Right? And we get to decide as fathers what kind of culture we are creating in our houses. And when you walk through that door, it's decision time. Yep. Right? When you put the key in, you turn the knob, and you know wife and kids are on the other side of that, you have the power of decision to say, God, whatever it was that I experienced today, I surrender it to you.
Yeah.
And I ask you for the grace to be vulnerable with my wife and children, because they want to access me, but they'll never access me as long as I'm wearing this shield, this armor, and this sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have a good friend, mentor, good friend, known him for 12 years now. Been through some stuff with him. He's a few years older than me. His kids are older. But one of the things he always does when I talk to him, he doesn't care about work, how work is going, how successful I am at my work, how much money I'm making. He goes, how are the kids? How's your wife?
Yeah.
He goes, if you're successful there, I know you're successful everywhere else.
Amen.
And he totally distinguishes those two things. Like, no, that is not success if this isn't successful.
Yeah.
If that family is not taken care of, if you're not vulnerable, if they don't know you and you don't know them,
yeah,
you can't tell me how they're doing. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that I've had someone to challenge me in that area. And I know every time I see him, he's not gonna let it go. Yeah. It is the one thing he cares about. Yeah.
And guess what? That would not work unless you were willing to take off your armor and let him look in there and ask the question.
Yeah.
Because I can't hold you accountable unless you're willing to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If I'm your boss or if I'm your big brother or your pastor, I cannot hold you accountable if you're not willing to surrender it.
Wow.
Right? And so that's the beauty of vulnerability, is that the world sees it as weakness, but God reminds us that vulnerability is power. It's strength, right? Brené Brown, the famous psychologist and counselor, right? She's written a million books. She wrote this book called Daring Greatly. And it talks about the power of vulnerability, but she says that there is not one act of courage, right? You talk to first responders, you talk to military, special forces, whoever, guys that go out and do courageous things, right? MMA fighters, you name it.
Yep.
There is not one act of courage that does not require some vulnerability.
Wow.
And we can take it all the way back to Jesus.
Yeah.
The cross.
It's the cross. I was just thinking that. I was like, we got to talk about the cross, man.
The cross.
Yeah.
That required a level of vulnerability. Like, Father, I don't want this cup.
Yeah. Take it from me.
Take
if
it.
You can. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So there is not one act of courage. I don't care how tough you are.
Yeah.
Right? Anytime you do an act of courage, it requires a certain level of vulnerability. And guess what? What I'm saying to guys today is that if that act of courage is asking your wife for forgiveness, then man, that's a beautiful, your kids for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right? Your brothers for forgiveness.
Yep.
If that act means that you are going to be present and you're going to take off your armor with another brother and be held accountable.
Yeah.
That's courageous, man.
Yeah.
That's true courage. When you can take off your armor and let somebody inspect what's going on in there.
Yeah.
To me, there is no other act of courage that's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't do that, what you're going to do is you're going to start pushing away the people that love you the most.
Yeah.
And you're going to really, I don't think you can ever push Jesus away because he's so gracious and so patient with us. But I do believe that if you continuously hold the Holy Spirit at an arm's distance and you're not willing to surrender, then I believe his position is, I cannot take and heal what you are not willing to surrender to me.
Yeah.
I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to walk with you, but I can't take that thing if you still got your hands on it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Jesus said in John 15, the most powerful prayer in history. And he's talking to the Father, but he's talking to his disciples too.
Yeah.
And he's telling his Father, he's like, I've made myself known. I did the thing you told me to do, which was make myself known. Yeah. I'm fully known now. There's nothing hidden inside of me. They all know it. And then he calls them, now you go do it.
Yeah.
And that's really a commandment more than it is like this might be a good idea if you want to be a Christian, you know?
Right.
He's like, no, this is actually how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, man, I think the biggest thing that holds men back from being vulnerable is that spirit of shame. Yeah. I believe shame, when it comes to men specifically, I believe shame is the devil's greatest tool when it comes to men. Right. And that's why I love The Forge. Because as we are building these relationships and building rapport with our brothers, there will come a time, if you are persistent and patient and prayerful, there will come a time when your brother will let you into that little space that he's been blocking everyone else from.
Yeah.
And if you are persistent in it, in love and without judgment, I believe that another brother will open his heart to you and allow you to go in and get that thing out that's been causing all the shame. You're right. The devil shames you and says, you need to hide. They're going to say this about you. They're going to judge you. You're not Christian enough. You're a failure. You're a horrible dad. You're a terrible husband. And the devil just heaps all this shame on you. You looked at that website. You did this. You did, right? It's an incredible amount of shame that he heaps on you.
Yeah.
But all it takes is one act of vulnerability to open your heart and allow Jesus to come in and heal that thing.
Yep.
And to allow another brother to come in and help you heal. And the voice of shame, once it's exposed, the shame is silenced.
Yep.
Right. And so that's the beauty of the forge. Yeah. It's like, we're inviting brothers to come in and say, let's take off our armor.
Yeah.
Let's see what's really down there. Yeah. And I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and go through the ugly, the shameful, the sick, yeah. whatever it is, whatever muddy waters the devil's been dragging you through.
Yeah.
And with love and gentleness, as the Bible instructs us, we bring a brother back into the fold with yeah. all love, Amen. With all gentleness, right? Without judgment. And we bring that brother back in and we say, let's do it together. I'm going to walk alongside you.
Yeah.
Right.
There's such a shame in asking for help. We've like, as men, we just feel it's wrong. It's weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to ask for help means that you're less of a man because you need help.
That's right.
And how would you tell men to open themselves to asking for help?
Well, I think there's two parts of that. I think those that can perceive it should not be afraid to ask another brother if they need help.
Yeah.
Because that brother may never ask.
Yeah.
Right. So for those of us who can perceive that our brothers are drowning, don't be afraid to ask. I was drowning for years and people watched. It's like the Titanic, man. Yeah. Like, people watched the ship go down and the music was still playing. The band was still playing, like, right. Even people cheering me on.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we're afraid to ask the brother if he needs help, if he needs us, because we don't want to upset the relationship.
Yeah.
We don't want to seem like we're poking and prodding.
Yeah.
And we don't want to seem like holier than thou.
Yeah.
But the Lord commands us. That's part of laying down your life for your brother.
Yeah.
Is challenging them and saying, brother, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the first part. Now, for the brother that needs the help, I would say that it really boils back down to your relationship with Jesus and getting the right perspective. Because I think after we sin and shame creeps in, the devil then convinces us that God's mad.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You're out of chances. You blew it. Oh, yep. You did that thing. That was so bad. There's no forgiveness for that.
Yeah.
Right. And then we believe the narrative that plays in our head over and over. And that shame grows like a cancer.
Yeah.
So for the brothers that are listening to this right now, and you've been convinced that the thing you've done is so shameful that you're beyond help, I would say that a deep conversation with Jesus and opening your Bible and seeing what kind of God we serve, because there is no thing, there is no height, nor depth, no angel, no demon, no sin. No, nothing that can keep us from the love of Jesus.
Come on, man.
And when we begin to read that, we begin to believe it.
Yeah.
Right? And then that might just give us what we need to go and ask for the help.
Yeah. Now, I remember over a year ago, it was about a year and a half ago now, going through a really difficult time. Didn't know how to ask for help. But I did have a friend who knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a small group setting where we're doing a book study, Becoming a King by Morgan Snyder. And so we're going through this study guide, and they're asking us questions, and my friend's in this group. And one of the questions that came up was like, what is your current state of emotions right now? Why are they that way? And everyone looks around like, well, who's going to go first, man? And then everyone's like, Tim, why don't you go first? And I just stuttered.
Mm.
Like, literally, I couldn't get words out. And I literally could not describe how I was feeling in the moment. And with everything I was dealing with, it was the hardest thing I've ever been through in life. Betrayal, I lost everything. Finances, everything was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend on the other side of the table was like, could I help explain this for you? And I was just like, yeah, that, please. And he starts describing what I'm going through. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Like that, wow, man. Like I needed that help to like center myself, have self-awareness of what's going on, and have the spiritual awareness of what I need to do.
Yeah.
And I remember I was just like, I started crying, man. I was like, oh my gosh, that guy knows me. Mm-hmm. Like he knows me. Like
yeah.
That feels so good, man, to just be known by someone like that, that they can help you. I didn't even have to ask for help. He knew it.
Right.
He's like, this brother's hurting.
Right. And that's where I was saying, like, if you perceive it
yeah.
and the Lord says, go reach out to that brother. A lot of us don't do it, man.
No.
And some of us won't do it because then as soon as we feel like I'm going to go help Tim.
Yeah.
Then the devil says, hey, remember what you did a couple days ago?
Yeah.
How dare you go
yeah.
try to help Tim?
It's like, there's no blood of Jesus anymore.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
And so I think, you know, again, like when you perceive it, you've got to be able to fight through that because the enemy's, he's not just going to lay down and let you go
no.
save a brother, right? So that's where we really need to be reminded of having the right perspective of God, the right view of Jesus yeah. and where we stand in that blood.
Yeah.
Right. And just be reminded like, hey, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's powerful. The other thing I was going to say that I forgot to mention this, when you said, what do you tell a brother who needs the help, but can't reach out? I heard this the other day, so it's not my quote, but I heard someone say, pick the man that you admire to be mm-hmm. the man that you desire.
Yeah.
So wow. what that means is find someone that you admire, find a brother that you know is walking right, find a brother yeah. that you know is strong, and then reach out to that person and say, I need help.
Yeah.
Right. Someone you look up to, someone that you could say, you know what? There's something about him. Right.
Yeah.
I can trust him.
Yeah.
Right. Fine. We all have that guy.
Yep.
Some of us, you know, won't admit it, but we all have someone that we look up to as a yeah. mentor, as a friend, as someone we highly respect. So I would say, find that man that you admire to help you become the man that you desire.
Come on.
Yeah. And just reach out, man.
Yeah.
Cause they're just waiting for you to reach out.
Yeah. No, I focus on that in my life, you know, just having several guys I can go to
mm-hmm.
more. I probably have 5 or 6.
That's not normal.
It's hard work. Those are relationships built, you know, those are longer than 15 years.
Yeah.
Some of them are recent, but most of them are over 15 years.
Yeah.
And so, it took a lot of work, but it took two components. And I think God designed it this way in discipleship, that you need to be discipled and you need to be a disciple maker.
That's right.
You need to go somewhere for wisdom, and then you need to see when someone needs it.
That's right. That's right.
And it's just beautiful how he writes that story and the power of vulnerability through the cross of Christ.
Yes.
Is.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like I said, 5, 6 guys, that's a lot, because I think if we talk to most men, they would say, I might have one,
yeah,
maybe two, but a lot of guys, they have none.
Yeah.
They don't have one other brother that they could share their deepest, darkest secret
yeah.
with. Not one. Why? Because of shame.
Yep.
Because of shame. And so I'm really working hard to deconstruct this thing that's been pre-programmed in us, that we need to suffer in silence.
Yeah.
That reaching out is weakness, and that vulnerability is feminized and shameful. And we're working hard to reverse that.
Yeah.
Here with the Forge clients, as well as with Total Athlete, working hard to really deconstruct all those cultural and social barriers that keep guys from taking the armor off.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep doing that work until God tells me to do something else.
Come on, man. You know, it's you've been through our leadership equipping course.
Yeah.
We kind of did some research on all the guys who have been through it. And one of the things we found out is the guys who go through the leadership training, I think it's almost 15% of them figure out that they need counseling afterwards.
Yes.
So it's like they get equipped to be this leader and go lead other guys, but at the same time, they have this courage not to just lead, but to be vulnerable.
That's right.
And it's been powerful. We sat down and we're talking about that the other day. It's like, wow, that's an interesting statistic, that you would think these guys are ready to get sent out.
Mm-hmm.
But like the truth of what's happening is like they're finding out their need for vulnerability. They're finding out their weakness and they're saying, I need help.
Yeah. And even in that weakness, you can still be sent out.
Yeah.
You know, there's this Christian myth that you got to have it all together before Jesus puts you to work. And that's, I mean, just read your Bible, man. That's false.
Yeah.
Right. Like no one ever had it all together except Jesus.
There's one perfect Christian.
Right. So like, you know, that's this myth that we need to have it all right before we get sent out and go help other brothers.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. And that's part of this deconstructing that we need to do.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's another one of these debunking some of these Christian myths.
Yeah.
Right. And that's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Along with a bunch of others. Right. Like you don't have to have it all together, man. We're all in this together.
I mean, if you're in it with people, you can move forward and grow along the way.
100%.
And that's the beauty of the church.
Yeah. I mean, we're both walking up the same hill.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're going to the same cross.
And we're going to get to the same cross every day.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, I mean, I think if we can recognize that, man, that's like we're all on this road. We're all a work in progress.
Yeah.
And I think when we start recognizing that and really understanding, like getting that right view of Jesus, it's like no one's perfect.
Yeah.
Right. No one, everyone's under construction. And, you know, I may look a little bit different than you do, but that doesn't make me better than you.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me a better man, a better Christian. That I'm your brother and I'm going to walk alongside you. And there's no prerequisite that I need to be super Christian before I can do that.
Yeah.
And so I hope that encourages anyone that's listening right now that's been kind of on the fence. Man, I know there's this person I want to help, but man, I keep getting reminded of this or I am shamed about that. Well, the remedy is go expose that thing.
Yeah.
You go expose it and there's no more power.
Yeah.
The shame only has power over you as long as you keep it a secret.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
You want to rob the power of it? Go expose it. Go find a brother.
Yep.
Go expose it and give it to God. And I guarantee you will be walking in freedom that second.
Come on. Man, vulnerability is powerful.
It's powerful, man.
It really is. Clay, I'm super grateful to have you here. Glad you're working here. Glad we'll get to see each other more.
Me too.
Glad these guys might get to see you more.
Yeah. I'm around. So if you guys, you know, I'm part of the Forge counseling team now. So hopefully, you know, guys come across me and my goal, honestly, like I said, is to break down the stereotypes, the myths, and we're never going to make you perfect because none of us are. However, if I can encourage you to break out of that grip of shame and go walk alongside another brother, then that's the goal.
Yeah.
Right. Discipling, to be a disciple and to disciple.
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Absolutely, bro.
Love it, man. And if you're out there, man, and this is resonating with you, you can come to the Forge and you're going to find a lot of guys who are struggling and moving forward at the same time.
Amen.
Bless you guys. If you need any help, you want to reach out to us, contact us at theforge.org.